Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client-getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an x-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, his zone of genius is his ability to help business owners eliminate burnout and boost performance so that they're calm, clear, confident, and in control of their business, their lifestyle, and their legacy. So I'm super excited to introduce Chris McLean. Now, Chris is a peak performance and conscious transformation coach based in Melbourne, Australia. Now, he's a certified master life coach and Ho'oponopono practitioner, marketer, podcaster, entrepreneur, and flow junkie. Now, Chris works with business leaders who are seeking the next evolution of their personal, business, or career transformation. Now, creator of the Intentional Chaos Protocol, Chris helps business owners and leaders to install transformative life change by developing daily habits and rituals that allow them to grow stronger from setbacks, chaos, and unpredictability. Now, following more than a decade of searching for the big answers to the big questions to get himself out of chaos, Chris brings vast experiences from business, marketing, life design, health and wellness, mental programming, coaching, mentoring, and martial arts into his work. Well, welcome, Chris. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Wow, I'm excited to be here. That was some intro.
Well, I think you've got quite a list of accomplishments and you're making a huge difference here. So I can't wait to learn more. And, you know, I just love how you're utilizing your life experiences and all the expertise you've gained along the way to really help people use those setbacks that come along in life to really become stronger and more resilient. Like I said, I can't wait to hear more about this and this great work that you're now doing.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, and that you've really touched on it there. That's the all of that experience, all of that stuff that I get to do now and that I've done in the past hasn't always been, you know, a lot of that. I failed at a bunch of that stuff to get to, you know, like you said, to pull out and tease out those insights and that zone of genius. It's a lot of going through stuff. You go through life and you try stuff and you throw things against the wall, and some of them work and some of them don't, and probably more don't work than do work. But you know, that
you just kept going and pursuing. So yeah, I love that. Yeah. Well, curiously, you know, Chris, what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own peak performance and transformative coaching practice?
Really, for this, I guess, this iteration of this coaching practice was really COVID. And particularly, you know, being in Melbourne, we've literally yesterday, 11:59 p.m. on Tuesday night, we came out of about 130 odd days of lockdown. So it's been a pretty intense time down in this part of the world. But you know, since March, since all this kicked off, it's been a pretty chaotic time for everyone. And for me, I was working as a chief marketing officer in a sustainability startup at the time. And that we, you know, that was a business where we serviced cafes and people in big corporate towers in the city, and both of those things kind of dissolved overnight. So we basically had to ice that business, ice that income, and sort of sit around like a lot of people are doing at the moment, I think, and sitting around thinking, well, okay, what do I do now?
Right.
You know, the world's kind of, I've been forced into this chaos. What do I do? How do I come out of this? And sort of, as you've touched on, fortunately for myself, I think optimism is one of my superpowers. Sort of eternally, rigorously optimistic. And coaching was something that I had done bits of in the past, sort of around 2015, 2016, I'd done some sort of brand coaching, sort of in the marketing brand space with some clients. And then had sort of left that alone, and I've done some consulting and that sort of work as well in the past, but again, was working in more of a job at the time that COVID hit. I've always had that passion and that drive to contribute, to be of service, and sort of help people, with the stuff that I've been through in life, and turn that a good friend, actually, a good mentor. I won't use the full word, but we talk about turning your crap into shingles. Mm. You can imagine which word sounds like shingles. There's this idea of taking all of the stuff we've gone through and turning it into something better. That's always been a drive for me, and COVID really became this opportunity to pivot into something that I really wanted to do.
Great.
And that's where this sort of coaching business kicked off again. And over the last few months, I've sort of been building that practice back up again. So it's been an intense but really fulfilling time.
Got it. Yeah. Well, so this, the coaching that you're currently doing, really started as of the lockdown, when pandemic really kicked in. So around February or March of this year, correct?
Yeah. Around that time. That's sort of when the world flipped upside down and started asking questions about, what do I want this to be?
Right.
What do I want life to look like on the other side of this thing?
Right. Yeah. And obviously you looked in the rearview mirror to see, okay, I've been doing this. I've got this skill set. I've got this expertise. I'm assuming you did a lot of reflective thinking, and, has your business mission or vision evolved since that kind of setback, and just, whoa, what are we going to do here? I'm no longer a chief marketing officer, and we started moving your feet. So, it hasn't been too long, but has your, mission evolved at all during the last few months here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think this, to be honest, this business was birthed from a vision change from many, many years ago.
Oh, okay.
My first business was a digital marketing agency that I started back in 2002. So digital marketing and advertising has kind of always been my bag. I started that business straight out of university.
Okay.
And that, we grew that company up over, almost a decade. I took that company overseas in 2012, but also around that time, I started feeling that disconnection to advertising and sales. And I'm sure this is something we can get into and touch on later. As an advertiser, I started to feel like I was part of that capitalist system of making people buy stuff they couldn't afford and didn't need, and sort of started to feel that disconnection and that misalignment between my personal value system, my personal beliefs, and the value system and the drive and the requirements for that particular business of advertising marketing that we were running at the time. Mm-hmm. So that's really where the stirrings, I guess, sort of started to happen of, well, if I'm not going to do this, what am I actually going to do? And what are my beliefs? What are my values?
Mm-hmm. Right. So really that's basically been a good solid 8 years ago.
And to be fair, probably way before that. I mean, my personal development, self-improvement journey began again because of that business, probably even earlier, 2005, 2006, around then.
Right.
So, 15 odd years ago, when, as a business owner, I sort of business was doing okay, but I was looking for that next level of, right, we've got to grow this thing. Right. What do I do?
So it's been percolating for quite a while.
Yeah. So, I mean, since my first Tony Robbins CD back in the days when people, I'm sure you understand as well, that we used to buy CDs and even tapes and things back in the day.
Right. Careful, Chris, careful. We're dating ourselves here.
Yeah. That's experience, Wendy.
So. Yeah, exactly. I love that. And so as this was constantly, it sounds like a question within you, you know, what's my next, you know, evolution, where am I doing my work now, I'm present, I'm doing this work, but always in the back of your head it sounded like there was this quest for more, something more, in more alignment. And finally COVID was the huge catalyst, but have there been any big roadblocks that you've had to overcome along the way in just bringing this business from inception to fruition, where we are today?
Yeah, I think for me, I've been in a fairly good position for that, because like I said, I've been digital since 2002, before digital was really a thing even. Yeah. And I ran an agency and I built websites and did social media and did all that strategy and did all that stuff hands-on. So I'm kind of somewhat in a fortunate position where I can do all the technical stuff, because I've had to do it over the years. And, my job, my career was around that marketing business strategy.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's been great that I've been able to bring, you talk about zone of genius, that's sort of another, I guess, a secondary zone of genius or zone of skill set that I have fortunately been able to apply to getting this business up and running. Yeah. I can build my website, I can do all of my branding, I can do all of that stuff without having to hire people and that kind of thing, which I guess for a lot of people there is that stress of, right, I want to start a business, but I've got to build a website and I've got to do all this stuff and I just don't know how to do any of that.
It can be daunting. Yes.
Yeah, it can be very daunting and overwhelming, and that becomes a stressor of, and I think that's the thing that tends to stop a lot of people as well. It's just too much. I won't bother.
Right. So you didn't have to overcome that, but what are some of the things that you did have to face and figure out how to overcome?
Well, I mean, launching a new business, right, effectively. So going to a market cold with a whole new thing and rebranding myself, working at, right, how do I pivot my messaging from digital marketing and the work I was doing to right now I'm a coach, right?
Right.
Now I'm this peak performance coach, and it's this weird shift. And of course you go through the stuff of, right, well, what are people going to think of me? And I'm a life coach now, and that's got, you sort of want to sometimes steer clear of that, the stigma that's attached to those sorts of things. And so there's always that self-reflection of, right, can I do this? Is this what are people going to think if I come around saying I'm a life coach now and I help people do blah, blah, blah. And you get into that negative self-talk of, can I do this? Right. Am I deserving of doing this? Are people even going to buy into what I'm doing? Am I going to make a sale? Are people, can I actually help people? And it's quite natural to.
Exactly. As well as just worrying about what others think. And maybe they go ahead and say what they're thinking, and that's certainly either, what are you doing, Chris? You were just fine doing this. So you're an expert at it. And now you're doing this. What do you think? And so what did you do to overcome these thoughts of self-doubt and protect yourself from what others were saying that might not have been so supportive of your transition?
Yeah. Well, again, I guess I've built a fairly thick skin.
and that innate optimism, right?
Yeah, exactly. I always figured there's a way through. Yeah, that rigorous optimism kind of just is always there. And I always believe that things are going to get better and that there's grass is always greener and there's always something better coming. But I also quite rigorously built in daily habits and practices. And I've been doing, and this is sort of where my coaching methodology comes out of, is this is just what I kind of do naturally.
Right.
Is I build habits and systems and rituals into my days that actually kind of push me out of my comfort zone on a regular basis. And when you do that enough, it opens out your realm of possibilities. Mm-hmm. It expands your capacity to deal with stress and overwhelm and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even simple, like a meditation mindfulness practice. If you do that long enough, you can start to create space between the thought and the action, or the thought and the reaction. So, you know, this, and I've been doing that sort of practice again, like we said, for a decade and a half now, and more intensively over the last few years, where I'm leaning into more exciting things like, you know, cold showers and deep breath work and yoga and qigong and martial arts and all these practices that are quite intensive on various different, you know, biological, neurological, physiological systems, where you're sort of deliberately putting stress into the system in order that you can then deal with the regular stresses of normal life much easier, because you've overcome something on a daily basis that most people would, you know, something like a cold shower, for instance. I don't know if you've ever taken a cold shower or an ice bath.
Nope.
But going through that process even once, you know, we talk about negative self-talk earlier, and trust me, going into a cold shower, the negative self-talk kicks off every single time. Oh, just, you know, just stay warm, don't do it today, you did it yesterday, it's okay, don't bother, you know, you've been doing good this week. And then that battle kicks off, well, you know, I have been doing it every day this week, so why not break, let's not break the chain, let's just do it. Mm-hmm. When you do that, you build that muscle daily. Yeah. Everything else just kind of becomes easy to deal with.
Interesting. Yeah. And what kind of came up for me was that self-talk that just triggers is also designed to keep you safe, right? It might not really Absolutely. Be serving what your ultimate vision or goal is, but it's designed to keep you safe. Just like people in our circle that might be trying to keep us safe by saying, Chris, what are you doing? You were so good at what you were doing. Why are you doing this now? And they're just trying to keep you safe. But what I heard you say was that our inner words are also trying to keep us safe, and it's not necessarily serving us.
Yeah, exactly. When you start to understand the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, 95-odd% of who we are and how we show up and how we operate just runs automatically out of that subconscious. If you don't actively start to dig into that stuff and try to uncover what's going on back there, you just run your life on, like, you know, you turn your computer on and it just runs and the programs pop up and it goes on its own. Yeah. That's what's happening if you're not conscious of what's actually going on for you. Yeah. And that self-talk is a really quick way to get into what's actually going on in your subconscious mind. Yeah. It's exactly like you said it. That self-talk is a safety mechanism, but it's stuff that was programmed when I was, you know, between the ages of 4 and 7, 3 and 7, that kind of time. So a lot of it just comes from that safety and security of, well, I'm 4 years old and mum says I need to do this, so I guess that's what I'm going to do. And then that's that forever, unless you become
conscious and dig deeper, which is, you really have been walking your talk and developing more techniques, technologies, strategies, tools, methodologies along the way. So yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, obviously you're an expert at helping people really take what life deals them, just like you have experienced, and really use it to make them better. But I'm curious here, taking a little bit of a tangent, how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? Now, this is obviously a very different skill set. You mentioned that you had a little bit of the sales experience from a prior career. But do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful coaching business?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I touched on it a little bit earlier, but I did carry around a bit of that resentment around that, you know, advertising industry. I mean, I don't know how much you know about advertising marketing, and particularly agency world. It tends to have quite a toxic hustle sales culture, you know, sales. Mm-hmm. And that was something that really did, that was very misaligned to who I am quite naturally. So, and that was an environment that I was in, you know, sell, sell, sell. You know, hustle, 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 make the sale, get it done. Right. So I definitely carried some of that
into
what I'm doing. And the, yeah, that can be.
Yeah. It becomes, you know, comes along with it, and it is rekindled as soon as you probably enter into those enrollment conversations. So,
yeah, so it's definitely something that I avoided for sure, like, you know, getting on the phone with people and having enrollment conversations and sales conversations. Mm-hmm. That has been something I've had to work on and reframe it really from. I think that the key difference really is what's the intention of the sale. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know more about this than I do, but if you're not aligned to your business, or you're just trying to make sales and make money rather than, you know, that can be, for me personally, that's a misalignment. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to sell something that I don't believe in. That doesn't work for me. But now that I'm shifting into, let's say, for purpose, value driven, heart centered work that I believe in, I think I'm more able to start thinking about the sales process as an obligation for me to learn how to sell better. If I can genuinely help someone and get them into my program and work with them, I know that I can transform them. I know I can change their life.
Right. Yeah.
So and then it's incumbent on me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so then it becomes incumbent on me to actually go out and sometimes, right, use their psychology against them to get the sale, to help them move from where they are to committing, right, and getting to somewhere that's going to be better for them. So I think that's been a bit of a mindset shift.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Well, I could plus that. I could offer a little bit additional insight around that if you'd like, or if there's some specific challenge you'd like to bring up, I can also support with that. So
that's been big for me. And I think that's a lot of people, particularly people that are in, you know, heart-centered coaching, consulting, right. You know, healing practices, these types of modalities of, I guess, you know, softer, more yin people. They tend to not like that hustle and sales, and they feel bad making sales or even bad making money because I'm spiritual and I'm connected and I shouldn't really want money and that kind of thing. So I think there's a lot of BS belief systems, right, tied up in that sales aspect for people, particularly in this type of field.
Absolutely.
So yeah, be great to understand a bit more about, you know, get some more insight on that.
Yeah, sure. Just, you know, to give you a little bit of maybe reframing, when you were in your sales role within the marketing, obviously the outcome was to help the business gain more clients and improve their brand or increase their reach or engagement, those kinds of things. But it was more really a transactional sale. With the work that you're doing now and with you and other coaches, it's a transformational sale and it's more of a transformational conversation. And so it's interesting because this goes right into the enrollment conversation. It's a little bit of the work that you do because you're helping people. You're basically, what I explain to my clients is you're really serving in a leadership role and helping them go from a state of maybe resistance and skepticism. And of course, they don't like where they're at in life. You know, they're frustrated. And you help them through the words, the message that you provide, through to a state of clarity, confidence, and ready to commit. And so this prospect to client journey, like I reference a lot, is really one that is a transformation right there in the conversation. Yeah. And typically any resistance that comes up towards the end is just illuminating their fears or how they really don't know how to let go of things that weren't serving them and make that confident leap into something that is a bit of the unknown, right? Unpredictability, because let's face it, they've not worked with you before. So they're relying on certain evidence that they're gathering through the conversation with you in order to have the courage to move forward with this commitment, not only with working with you, but a commitment to say yes to themselves. And so that's where it really is a completely different type of selling, if you will. And, you know, you even referenced it's without your service, they're not going to evolve in their profession, in their life. They're not going to evolve, but they're not going to have as much joy or happiness. And that's the ultimate end result, right? And,
yeah, exactly.
And so putting the lens on when you enter into these enrollment conversations in terms of just really understanding that there is probably going to be some resistance, it's just part of the nature of people who don't have clarity yet, and really helping them through to that understanding that through working with you, through understanding your processes, your methodologies, through understanding how you have a track record or credibility, that they're in good hands and that those goals that they want to achieve are achievable. So hopefully yeah. That's helped a little bit. It's been a little bit vague, and I normally have
specific techniques,
but it's just reframing your mindset to understanding that people are going on this little journey with you. And it's not like just a one and done type, okay, here's what we do. Here's how I work with people. You want to, what do you say? You ready to get going? Yeah. You know, it's not exactly. That transactional type of a sale. That's the main point that I'm trying to make here. So hopefully that helps shine a little bit of light onto a different perspective.
Yeah, no, definitely. And yeah, I like what you're saying there. It's that sale, you know, if you want to talk about it as a sale or a conversion or all these kind of words that we have for this process, it really is, it's almost that, it's that first commitment to themselves that they actually want to do something for themselves, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's that first commitment of, yes, I'm willing to exchange some of this financial stuff, some money, some make a transaction to actually invest in myself.
Yep.
Because they're not really paying me. They're not paying you. They're paying for a result for themselves.
Yes.
So they're just investing in themselves through you, because
yes.
they see that you can help them get to where they want to get to.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's a much nicer way to think about it. And I think again, people in this sort of coaching space, that's a really nice reframe to think about. Well, you know, I'm helping somebody invest in themselves through what I do,
yes,
rather than selling them stuff or making them buy something.
Exactly. Yeah, you're taking the focus off of you and putting it onto them, and you're just the conduit.
Yeah, I love that. It's nice. Yeah.
Good.
Great.
Ah, fantastic.
Very cool.
Well, Chris, you know, we've already been talking about the impacts of the pandemic as being a catalyst here for you launching your coaching practice. So I'm just curious, for others in the world, the pandemic has turned their world upside down. They're in a state of chaos. There's lots of unpredictability, as you have identified. So has this had impact on the work you do, specifically helping people to land on their feet in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I guess, the upside of a pandemic in this situation is it's fingers crossed, it's a once in a lifetime experience for most people, but it is the type of very hardcore life situation that makes you sit back and go, actually, what's important? What do I want to do? Who am I? What am I doing? Where am I going? What does this all mean? So I think there's many more people out there asking these questions now, and looking for a pathway from, okay, now I've realized that I actually don't really enjoy my job and I want to start a business because that's what I'm passionate about. And I've been passionate about it for 30 years, but I haven't had that catalyst moment yet. So right. I think that this has been quite a catalyzing moment for people to sort of reflect and then look forward and go, well, what do I want life to look like on the other side of this? And I think for business owners as well, that same sort of thing is going on of, well, I've built this business and maybe it's successful, maybe it's not, maybe it could be better, but what do I want this to look like on the other side of this thing? You know, a lot of businesses have been put out of business or on the brink and had to pivot to digital. If you had a coaching practice where you had people coming to the office, right, now you've got to work out how to use Zoom and how to do digital marketing and learn all this new stuff.
Right.
And all of that is chaos and stress and overwhelm. And how do I do it? And so I think there's a great opportunity, if you want to see it that way, to learn how to deal with stress better, because you're not going to go through anything like this again, hopefully. So if you can get through this and get some tools and technologies and techniques to manage this and deal with the stress that's come out of this situation, anything else is going to be a breeze.
It's that cold shower, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's that
an ice bath.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the ice bath of a life, really. Like, yes, this experience has been
Thank goodness you're there to pull the plug and let that water drain away and help them with exactly the tools they need. So can you explain a little bit about your methodology and philosophy? How do you work with business owners and leaders who want to grow stronger from these setbacks and actually use them as rocket fuel to reach new levels of success in their life, in their profession, in their business? Can you also shed a little bit of light on what Ho'oponopono is all about?
Yeah, sure.
Dying to know.
Sure. Yeah. It's a fun word. So to go to the first part of the question, so a lot of particularly coaching, sort of the aim is to get people to resilience, right? To become more resilient, to sort of manage things better. I actually want to push people to the next level, which is something they call anti-fragile. So if you see resilience as a step up from, you know, being fragile, if something's fragile, it's very easily breakable, right? Mm-hmm. Something fragile goes through an experience, and at the end of that experience, it's actually weaker or worse off than it was when it started. Something that's resilient goes through the same process, goes through an experience, and it manages and it sort of survives and it comes out about the same as when it went in. We actually want to get people to an anti-fragile state of being where you can go through experiences and not only just survive them, but actually thrive out of them and come out of them stronger, get better from them, get stronger, get more confident from negative experience, from adversity, from uncertainty, from stress, like going through a pandemic. Right, if you can go through this experience and take all the learning, keep a positive mindset, keep an optimistic mindset, get some tools and tactics and actually come out of this thing with a new business, with a new drive, with a new vision, that's worth doing. You're not just, well, I had a job, I survived and I've still got a job that I don't really like, but I'm resilient, right? I've resisted. That's the main idea. We want to get people to being anti-fragile. So you go through stuff and you get stronger from it. And that's where sort of the idea of my methodology came from, which is what I can call intentional chaos, which is basically the opposite of unintentional chaos, which is what most of us tend to go through in life. You show up to your day and your day just runs you. You wake up and you stub your toe and you're in a bad mood and the shower's a bit not right. And then you forget to brush your teeth and then your shoes don't fit and you grab coffee and then you're in the car and the traffic sucks. And then you get to the office and the guy you hate annoys you and the water cooler is not working and you can't get your second coffee and the day just runs you and it snowballs. And it's this whole ball of unintentional, just chaos.
Right.
I guess my viewpoint is that life's going to be a struggle somewhere, somehow, right? It's built into the fabric of who we are and how we operate. There has to be some kind of a struggle. So let's pick the struggle, put some very conscious containers around those things and, you know, become intentional with the chaos that we choose to run our days through. And that way we can start to actually run our days. We get to determine where our containers are going to be for that day. So we become much more intentional. And by becoming intentional and doing things, like I said, through challenging ourselves on a daily basis, we build out that capacity to deal with chaos. So we sort of put ourselves deliberately into stress, into adversity on a daily basis. Every day we're growing by a couple percentage points. It might be 1%. We would change 1% every day, but over time, a 1% increase can make you pretty anti-fragile. 1%, you know, it compounds, right. It compounds over time. So 1% today, every day in a year's time is a massive return.
Right.
So if we can just do these little bits of pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone deliberately every day, rather than stepping into chaos that we haven't defined, we build that compound interest of self-improvement over time. We get better, we get stronger because becoming intentional about our days and intentional about choosing what we're going to focus on and how we're going to operate our days. And really it's about defining what's the 20% of activities that I can double down, triple down on that's going to give me 80% of my results. And let's focus on that stuff, put some containers around that stuff and really make sure that we're getting into different states, we're getting into flow states, we're getting into hyper-focused, hyper-vigilant states around that 20%, lock off that time, build some containers around that. And that really is the struggle because that can be hard for people. slowing down and not going through that daily rigor of just running, chasing your tail all day and going, right, I'm actually not answering emails between 9 and 11 in the morning. That's actually quite a struggle for most people because right. Society and business really isn't built around that. It's built around this idea of just being busy for the sake of being busy rather than actually creating containers and spaces for yourself where you can actually be more productive.
Interesting. Ah, that makes so much sense. And it's a very unique methodology, you know, that intentional chaos. That's powerful. I love that.
Thank you. I like it too. I think it's pretty cool.
How does Ho'oponopono fit into this?
Yeah. So it was sort of a side thing, something I heard about years ago from Dr. Joe Vitale, who was in The Secret movie years ago. He wrote a book about it many years ago about his experiences with this somewhat wacky Hawaiian doctor who worked in this insane asylum in, I think in Kona or the big island of Hawaii many, many years ago. And the story goes that he worked in, it was one of the most brutal insane asylums in Hawaii in the world. Nobody wanted to work there. Very, very violent, sort of psychotic patients. And he took over tenure at this hospital. And the story goes, as it was relayed to Joe Vitale, that I think the hospital shut down in about 3 years and all the patients were released and they were all completely healthy.
Oh my
God. Effectively, this guy healed all of these people, but he never saw a single patient. So he healed all of these mental disorders and these quite crazy, literally crazy people without having a single session, didn't speak to a single one of them. And all he was doing was in his own mind saying four things. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. All he was doing all day long was repeating these four phrases over and over and over in his own mind. And that was this process. Through doing that, he cleared and released all of this negative energy for all of these people. And yeah, the asylum shut down after a number of years. So that whole process is an ancient Hawaiian practice called Ho'oponopono. And it's effectively a belief clearing, negative energy clearing through a process of effectively repeating these four phrases over and over and over to yourself. You can sort of hold a space or hold a... say for yourself, if you're going into a call with somebody into doing one of your podcasts, you think about that container, think about that space, and you use these words as a way to basically clean that energy and make it a safe space that everyone who comes into there is going to get what they need out of it and go away feeling better and having removed some of the deep subconscious beliefs that they don't even know that they have. And there's a whole lot more to it, but that's the very high level idea. All you say is these four things, and it's a very deep cleansing mechanism for relieving all of the stuff, even sort of ancestral traumas and all this kind of stuff that we carry with us. It's basically a way to clear all of this stuff out and make way for divine inspiration, creativity, all of this stuff to flow through us and help us do what we need to do in our lives.
Wow, that is fantastic. I love that. That is so powerful.
Yeah, and it's a pretty cool story.
Amazing. I mean, it's almost unbelievable, but yet I totally believe it. I mean, it's,
He wrote, energy. Joe Vitale wrote about it in a book called Zero Limits, was the original book. And I think he updated that, and there's a revised version called, I think it's The Zero Point. But those are the two books where he sort of talks about him meeting Dr. Hugh Len, who is the doctor. And yeah, it's fascinating stuff.
Yeah, that is. And obviously this is one small aspect of the comprehensive methodology that you've assembled here. Yeah, that is fantastic. I love that, Chris. Well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
Well, my website is at thechrismclean, MCLEAN.com. If people are interested to, if they like what I've been talking about and they think this resonates with them and they want to just jump on a call so we can see if they're a good fit to sort of work with this stuff and see where we can help them out. Mm-hmm. They can go to thechrismclean.com/discovery and book a 30-minute call there and we'll jump on the call and we'll have a conversation and sort of try and help you out where you're at and see if working together is going to be beneficial.
Yeah, fantastic. So, yep, go ahead.
Yeah, and just on social media, I'm pretty active on Facebook. So just Facebook/Chris McLean Coaching. You can find that's my profile. I'm pretty active on there. So you can connect with me over there as well.
Perfect. Okay. So that is thechrismclean.com. So T-H-E and then your name, right?
C-H-R-I-S.
Yep.
Yep.
M-C-L-E-A-N.com. And then /discovery is how they can just jump right to the page where they can schedule a call with you. So, or find you on social, Facebook, /Chris McLean. All right. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, Chris, you've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom here during our conversation. But if I could tap on you one last time in looking at your own experience in building your business. And I know you've already shared a lot about just tapping into some very powerful techniques, but if you could share some advice with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's questioning their decision to have started their own business, or maybe they're doubting their ability to succeed, what could you share with them?
Yeah, I think from a personal perspective, from themselves, business is a process. One thing I always say is that I don't think there's any better form of self-improvement or self-help than starting a business.
Right.
Because it's going to pull out all the stuff, like all the self-talk, all the stuff that you never knew was you, right? The real you really shows up when you start a business. You've got all your money stuff shows up, right? All of the stuff that you never knew was there when you just had your cozy day job. And now you've got this business and you're responsible for people and you've got it. It's all on you. All of this stuff triggers all these things coming up. So it's very natural to feel overwhelmed and frustrated. And so the biggest key there is just keep going. You know, persistence, consistency, focus on that 20%, right? Focus on the money-making activities in your business, because you can do all this other stuff. You can build social media and do all this content and focus on all of this stuff. But unless you're getting clients, enrolling clients and making money in your business, you don't have a business. You've got a hobby. Yep. So that's number one, focus on the right stuff and be persistent and consistent with it. And the second thing I would say is do not be afraid to mastermind. You know, Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich was the great component of this idea of the mastermind. Reach out, connect with other business owners that might be going through similar things. Find a coach, find a consultant, find a friend, find an accountability partner. Anything to have other people invested and involved and enrolled in your vision and your business is going to help you through those days when you don't want to do it, when you couldn't be bothered, when you're struggling, when you're overwhelmed. Having someone else just say, you got this, keep going, can make a world of difference. So whether that's a Facebook group or a WhatsApp chat or your partner or a coach or a consultant or somebody who's just there to hold you accountable and to just give you that little, you got this, you can do it, keep going. That's often enough just to propel you to the next bit of action. And that gets you through that day and gets you to the next day.
Yep.
So yeah. Those would be my two major things. Right. If you get those two things done, you're on a pretty good path.
That is powerful. I love that. Just understanding that all the stuff comes up that you never knew was there.
Yeah.
The process to get through it and to align that support system so that you're not an island, which is easy to do, is to become an island, right? And siloed and sit here at our computer with our in amongst our four walls and start twiddling our thumbs and doing the 80% that doesn't really move the needle. So
exactly. Yeah. Chasing every shiny object and every bit of software and every course and every masterclass, and we feel really busy but we're not actually doing anything.
Oh yeah, it's that busyness. It's sort of an allusion to the immediate gratification of I'm busy, so therefore I must be successful, but oops.
Exactly. But I haven't made any money for the last 6 months, but I've been really busy. Yes. So things are going well.
Yeah. Well, I have so enjoyed our conversation, Chris. This has just been great. And, you know, just listening to your journey from your role in the marketing world as chief marketing officer, and how you really were, you know, growing this seed of entrepreneurialism and something much bigger. And now it's a fruition, right? So this important, very valuable work that you're doing, helping business leaders, business owners, really grow stronger from life's setbacks, chaos, and unpredictabilities, and reach those next level evolutions of their personal business and career transformation. So I've really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on today's show.
My pleasure. Thank you for reaching out and having me on. It's been a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad it's not too early there in Melbourne.
No. It's almost 10 o'clock now. I've been up since 5, so
there we go.
Well into the day.
That's great. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Chris McLean through his website, thechrismclean.com, or find him on Facebook.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. And thank you so much to our listeners. Remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all 4 psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me and our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. Okay. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Chris McLean. And as always, here's to your success.